You are living under a regime that hates you. Not misunderstands you. Hates you. A Talmudic machine engineered for your erasure. Guided by texts that call you cattle. Led by men who grin as your daughters are defiled and your sons are drugged. Docile and dumb. They own the courts, the currency, the curriculum. You were not simply abandoned. You were targeted. Your heritage is mocked. Your faith inverted. Your bloodline diluted on purpose. And still you ask, what can we do? I tell you now, build the ark or drown. There will be no reckoning from within the system. No politician is coming. No court will rule in your favor. The Constitution is a carcass picked clean by rats in robes and suits. Every lever of power answers not to you, but to a foreign code, a Talmudic code, that sees your extinction as righteous. They have told you who they are. They have written it down, and they are acting on it while you kneel and pray for mercy they will never give. So rise. Build the parallel structure. Build the farm, the school, the fortress, the network. Forge the tribe that cannot be bought, that cannot be infiltrated, that fears no label and bends to no pressure. The time for illusions is over. The collapse is not coming. It is here. And if you do not create something of your own, then your children will be raised by the enemy, fed poison, and made to worship the ones who ruined them. A new order must be born, not in Washington, not in Davos, but in your backyard, among men you trust, on soil you till, in homes you defend. Let them have their empire of filth. You build the cathedral of kin, duty, and steel. Teach the old ways. Speak the old tongue. Make pacts in blood. Print books. Stock grain. Train arms. Create your own schools. Your own rights. Your own laws. Raise sons of vengeance, not sons of surrender.
That reminds me of John and Jess Bray. The Reader's Digest version of the John Bray story is that they were living in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and people started moving into his city. And he looked at his wife and his family, he looked around and he said, you know what, these people, they don't look like us. They don't act like us. They don't talk like us. They don't seem to want to assimilate. They don't represent my values and my faith. And I just want to be amongst my people. So they moved out of the city of Tulsa, which had been invaded by this alien species. And they moved out into the country. They found their people. They tribed up. And they realized when they got there that their tribe, that their people had been kind of malnourished. And that their only choices for food and grocery came from a Walmart or a Casey's General Store. And that they weren't getting proper nutrition. So they started a farm called the Blue Mountain Farm, and Jess is a big part of running this, and John and Jess and the family run the Blue Mountain Farm. By the way, this is not a paid endorsement. The Stu Peters Network is not doing business with Blue Mountain Farm. We would like to if John wants to advertise on the program. We'd sure love that. But I do support their business as a customer. I shop at the Blue Mountain Farm's website, bluemountainfarmok.com. You can put it on the screen right now. There it is. There's the homebrewed kombucha. All of the different sprays that they have, the tallow creams, the cleansing bars, and yes, they have toothpaste that you can give to your children. Cellular regenerating, remineralizing toothpaste. What could be better? Fluoride and alcohol-free mouthwash. They tribed up. They brought health and goodness and prosperity to their people. They became pillars of their community because they realized that the enemy, the bad guy, is inside the gates. The enemy is from within. And so often we hear these talking heads and politicians and so-called experts telling us all about how far-off foreign nations are sponsoring the terrorism. Countries like China and Russia, Iran, Iraq, and now Venezuela are funding and housing and training and arming, sometimes even directly commanding vast networks of terrorists who want to take our freedoms away. They want to institute Sharia law. And they call all of this state-sponsored terrorism. Now, if you couldn't already tell, that phrase is a loaded one, especially in a post-9/11 world when the United States government tells you that some other country is supporting or sponsoring terrorism. The average American mind is immediately going to jump to 9/11. The average American mind will immediately start conjuring up images of a bunch of cavemen flying planes into buildings and into the Pentagon, because when you still believe the official narrative of an event like 9/11 or the assassination of Charlie Kirk, it's easy for the government and the media and the military-industrial complex, all the same group, the same band of criminals, to push you into supporting whatever it is that they want to do all over the world, which is exactly what's happening right now in Venezuela, where, as I mentioned last night on my Instagram page, the Trump administration has declared Nicolas Maduro, that country's president, to be a state sponsor of terrorism. And not just that, but they have declared Maduro himself to be a terrorist, a narco-terrorist, to be exact. So what does that mean? Why do I, as an American, care? Well, effectively, what this means is that the United States government, this organized band of gangsters, under the auspices and the authority of Donald Trump and his administration, is giving itself a license. It's giving itself permission to kill Maduro or to invade Venezuela to liberate the Venezuelan people from the clutches of this terrorist and spread democracy. It's all a game to these people. It's a word game. They call you a terrorist. They declare you a terrorist, as they like to say, and all of a sudden they can kill you. And it's also sickeningly ironic, because when it comes down to it, the United States government is the world's number one state sponsor of terrorism. It's not China, it's not Russia, it's not Iran or North Korea or some African warlord, it's certainly not Venezuela. It's the United States government, along with its creditors and its handlers on Rothschild Boulevard in Tel Aviv, the Knesset in Jerusalem, every other corner of the world in which the real international terrorists find shelter. And over the weekend, we were again reminded of this little fact when news broke that the United States military, under the command of Pete the Drunkard Hegseth, Kegsbreath, as we like to call him, has taken to committing war crimes on the high seas. In fact, the United States military is doing to Venezuelan boaters exactly what Israel did to the USS Liberty in 1967, and exactly what Israel is doing to Palestinians right now in Gaza by launching what are called double-tap strikes on Venezuelan targets. Now, I had never heard of double-tap strikes before this debacle. You may not have either, but basically what these attacks consist of is an initial airstrike, followed up by another one to kill off any survivors or anyone who may come to the scene to render aid to the survivors. And it's illegal. It's a war crime. Watch this.
We're learning new details about one of those deadly U.S. strikes on alleged drug boats in the Caribbean. Sources tell CNN the U.S. military carried out a follow-up strike on September 2nd after becoming aware of survivors in the water. The sources tell us that prior to the strike, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth had ordered the military to ensure everyone on board was killed. People briefed on the, quote, double-tap strike say they're concerned that it could violate the law of armed conflict, which prohibits the execution of an enemy combatant who is taken out of the fight due to injury or surrender. Now, since September, as you're seeing on your screen here, the U.S. military has carried out at least 21 known strikes on suspected drug trafficking boats, killing at least 83 people. Officials have also acknowledged, though, not knowing the identities of everyone on board before they are struck. And this development comes as President Trump says the U.S. military will soon begin land strikes on alleged drug trafficking networks in Venezuela.
So again, what the United States military is doing to these Venezuelan boaters is exactly what Israel did to the USS Liberty. You take your initial shot, you torpedo the boat, and then you torment survivors as you kill them off one by one. Strafing the deck, strafing the lifeboats, it's all very Jewish. It's very Israeli. So it shouldn't come as any surprise to anyone that Pete Hegseth, this guy who we all watched on live television take an Israeli loyalty test during his Senate confirmation hearing, he's the one that's responsible for this. And of course, President Trump. And remember, this is just the beginning. Trump is already talking about launching airstrikes on Venezuelan land targets, as you heard in that CNN report. And he has refused to rule out a ground invasion. And already there are American intelligence agents operating on the ground in Venezuela. There's a real possibility that American special forces are there as well. I mean, it's hard to even express how big of a deal the situation in Venezuela actually is. This is not something that's going to just be confined to Latin America. This is a conflict that, if it sets off, will reverberate worldwide. It'll lead to false flag attacks, permitted foreign attacks on American soil. There is a reason why we are picking this fight right now, and it all ties back to Israel. We've been told for years that places like Iran or Hezbollah or Hamas, that they have established a presence in Venezuela, and that they're using that presence to operate in the United States by clipping across our non-existent southern border and setting up sleeper cells in our country. And if and when a war with Venezuela commences, these so-called sleeper cells will undoubtedly activate. And our government, keep this in mind, our government knows exactly where these people are. They know that they're in this country. They know that they're going to let them or provoke them into activating so that Americans will be killed. And then, in turn, other Americans will support retaliation. Just like 9/11. They'll support more war. And not just war with Venezuela, by the way. That war will spill into the Middle East, no doubt. It will ensnare Hezbollah, Hamas, and of course, Iran. Do you see how this works? All of this is connected. Hezbollah sleeper cells from Venezuela or CIA Mossad operatives who we're told represent these sleeper cells will kill Americans. And as a result, we will invade Lebanon. We'll go into Gaza. We'll go to Iran. And everywhere else. And we'll fight wars against a bunch of terror networks that are funded and propped up by and trained by the United States, the world's biggest state sponsor of terrorism. We have entire armies of terrorists on the American payroll just sitting around waiting for the moment that they get the call and they're told to go kill a bunch of Americans so that we can go to war. Seriously, did you know that right now we're giving the Taliban tens of billions of dollars every year just to play the bad guy on the internet? Seriously, watch this.
Roman, are you aware that we are sending $40 million a week to the Taliban?
Yes, sir.
Can you name other instances of foreign aid going to terrorist organizations?
We have assisted Al-Shabaab in Somalia. There has been instances of the Khamzi network in Sudan, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, Kataiba Hezbollah, Hayat Tahrir al-Shams in Syria. Dozens of terror organizations have received indirect assistance from U.S. foreign aid. Let's use Gaza as our case study. $2.1 billion in American taxpayers' money to Gaza since October 7th when Hamas invaded southern Israel. USAID money was going in terms of an emergency use authorization to try to go to parties that USAID formerly had a relationship with in the Gaza Strip.
Videos like that one really do help to put things into perspective, don't they? And by the way, speaking of the Taliban, you can bet your... We will likely be hearing from those guys pretty soon, sooner rather than later, considering the fact that two National Guard members were just shot and killed in D.C. by an Afghan. An Afghan who was given military training by the United States, who was on the payroll, employed by and trained by the CIA, and who was then brought to the United States and deployed into our neighborhoods and on our streets, imminently putting the American people, every citizen in this country, in grave danger. But you see, that's the point. Our government isn't waging war on terrorism. It's sponsoring terrorism. Whether it's in D.C. or in Gaza or Venezuela or somewhere else entirely, all of this is a charade. And Venezuela is just a domino that has to be pushed over so it can set off a much larger chain of events. Because remember, all of this is connected. Since the 1913 installation of the Federal Reserve, America's central bank, the United States military has been the strong arm for this band of gangsters. And since 1937, the United States, every single year, has been involved in a war or a coup or a rebellion or a regime change or all of those things and more as our terroristic government works on behalf of international banking interests to whip the world into line. It's almost as if at some point in the early 20th century, right after the founding of the Fed, a bunch of Jews sat around a table and decided on this rotating international cast of characters for the United States to wage war against. We were fighting Japan in 1937, 4 years ahead of Pearl Harbor. And then after World War II, the United States spent a decade in these small-scale conflicts all around the world enforcing the Rothschild hegemony that the war had brought about. Back in the 1940s, we were in the Middle East. Did you really think that any of this was new? No, it's not new at all. In 1949, the United States ran a coup to overthrow Syria's government and installed a puppet government. A decade later, we're back in Syria. Because the hedge of protection around the central bankers had collapsed. So we had to run another coup after the first U.S. puppet regime collapsed. In the 1950s alone, the United States ran operations in Syria, Iraq, Iran, Egypt, Lebanon, and that's just the Middle East. Let's not forget about operations in Indonesia and the Congo and China and Taiwan. Are you starting to see a trend here yet? This is called pattern recognition. There is a list of names out there, a list of countries, and those names and those countries are just recycled each time a new conflict is needed. Right now, the focus is largely on the Middle East. And it has been for the past 20 to 30 years. Every Middle Eastern country that I just mentioned, and a whole lot more, like Afghanistan and Qatar and Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, they have all hosted American wars. Sometimes multiple wars. But it's not just in the Middle East. What were we talking about just a moment ago? Latin America. Of course, there is a major tie into the Middle East there as far as Venezuela is concerned, but it shouldn't come as any surprise, again, that America is on the cusp of war there because we have been meddling in Latin America for a century. In the 1920s, the United States fought multiple wars in Latin America. We went back in the 1980s, and now we're there again. And not just Venezuela, because by the way, and this is very important, at this moment right now, the United States and its international allies are meddling in the Argentine election process and the Honduran election process and probably others. You need to take a hard look at this government, your own occupied government, and come to the relevant conclusion, the realization that these people, they're not the good guys, they're the bad guys. And they're getting a whole lot of people killed, including Americans, in wars that benefit no one but the pedophile cabal that's pulling the strings. Eric Moutsos is a new friend of mine. I've been following him on Instagram, and he's been following along with all of this on Instagram. He's here with us now. Eric, your take.
Well, my take is we have been propagandized so hard. You brought up 9/11. If you don't understand who did 9/11, who was behind 9/11, our CIA in conjunction with Mossad, the next thing that they are going to do, because they will, I believe you're going to take it hook, line, and sinker. This, in my opinion, this Federal Reserve that was installed in 1913, this fake usury banking system that they set in place, the war on terror is probably the next greatest scam, the way that they push it. Is what I mean. It's the biggest scam to sweep the earth. And I didn't understand it until, because I believed the 9/11 at first. I believed the whole thing, the Toby Keith will put a boot in, you know, singing that song. I believed it all until I started to put all of these pieces together. And that's why it's really important for people to understand 9/11, understand Building 7, understand.
And you mentioned Toby Keith. That's really important because, as we all know, the music and entertainment industries, along with the media, it all comes back to the control of the same group of people.
That's exactly right. Do you remember Back to the Future, Marty McFly?
Yeah, of
course. And he's in the mall parking lot, and the bad guys come up. Do you remember who the bad guys were in the van shot Doc?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the towel heads. They were getting people propagandized from way back then to try and divide Christians and Muslims. I've been trying to get to warn people, especially the last couple of weeks, because of the propaganda that they are pushing over and over and over about this Islamic terrorism coming in and taking over. You had sent me the other day.
It's Alex Jones's entire feed. I mean, that's like the content of his 25-hour-a-day, 8-day-a-week broadcast. I mean, 6 million people are watching Alex Jones just constantly regurgitate the political talking points, which does two things. It legitimizes this two-party system, which is completely fake, and the electoral process, telling people to sit down and shut up and trust the plan, and that they can vote their way out of this or somehow become politically engaged with inside of the apparatus of this current governmental system, which is a complete illusion. And it also just continuously beats them over the head with the sand people are in charge of your government, and the sand people are inside of our country, and the sand people have weapons caches and dirty bombs, and they're going to blow something up.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't know if you're watching Benjamin Netanyahu lately, but he's going around comparing America to Rome in several different press conferences, comparing us to Rome. And then he had the nerve of having somebody come up to him like it was, you know, like this was just, you know, organic, somebody coming up to him with a camera. hey, Benjamin, what are you reading? And he, you know, with his smile, I don't know if you saw that, Stu, but he said, I'm reading a book about Rome, the Jews versus Rome. So here he is going around in press conferences comparing us to Rome, and then he's saying that he's reading a book about the Jews versus Rome. All he's doing is projecting exactly what he said. And then he said on several different occasions, he just made this statement probably just a couple weeks ago, that Iran has the capabilities to, you know, hit places like Washington, D.C., hit places like New York, Miami. And then he stops in this like satanic look and he says, Mar-a-Lago. He is directly threatened. He knows. The bottom line, what I'm trying to say is there is a false flag coming. It's probably going to be 10 times worse than 9/11. Don't fall for it. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't fall for it, because they're telling us, it was Karl Marx. What did he say? Something like, accuse your enemy of what you're doing as you're doing it to create confusion, I think he said.
And at the same time that you have Benjamin Netanyahu telling these lies about Iran, we know that Iran doesn't have the capabilities. They don't have the intercontinental ballistic warhead that's capable of delivering any kind of strike, including a nuclear strike on the United States. But guess who does? Israel does. The only undeclared nuclear program on the face of the planet that's allowed to exist without scrutiny. And speaking of the Charlie Kirk assassination, it mirrors and resembles in so many different ways the assassination of JFK, who was taken from his citizenry in broad daylight in front of a live viewing audience, and on international television, and the video was replayed and allowed to proliferate. We still see clips of that assassination all over the place as a warning sign to everyone. You get out of line, you step off the reservation, you oppose this agenda, and you'll meet this fate.
Stu, I saw this YouTube a few months ago, and it's titled 1666. You can look this up on YouTube. 1666, The Dark Messiah. And I think his name is Robert Sapir. So it's Robert Sepeher. Look that up on YouTube. It's about a man named Zebetai Zevi, born in 1666 on the sixth month on the sixth day. And so why I bring this up, because this is, I'll get messages all the time. Like, are they really this evil? Are they really this evil? I have a video of this rabbi guy talking to Benjamin Netanyahu from years ago, saying, what are you doing to bring back the Messiah? People don't understand that this group of people, the synagogue of Satan, which it speaks about in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, they are doing everything that they can for wickedness. So in other words, they believe in doing really, really bad things in order to bring back their Messiah. And so when people are like, okay, why are we getting poisoned with our food? Why are we getting poisoned with our water, our air? This is exactly the plan, because they believe in doing really bad things in order to bring back their God.
And that's not our God, by the way. So when you see somebody like Greg Locke standing at his tent that he calls a church and saying something like, we need to get a big missile and blow that mosque off of the land that it sits on and build that third temple and usher in the return of Jesus, he's not talking about, and there's not a Jewish person tapping him on the shoulder and saying, excuse me, you got that wrong. It's not Jesus that we're looking for, because we believe that Jesus is burning in hell in a pot of semen and excrement, and that his mother, the perfect Virgin Mary, was a... No. They're talking about a different God, because Jesus Christ is not their Messiah. They are the descendants of the people who murdered Jesus Christ, and they begged for his blood to be on the hands of them and their children for all of eternity. So I don't know where this Judeo-Christian alliance thing comes in, because to me, that sounds like the enemy of Christianity, and that makes it seem like this Judeo-Christian thing just, it's a fallacy.
Yeah, it's 100% fallacy, and Christians need to wake up immediately. I get frustrated, obviously, with they, you know, the little terrorist group over there, but I get more frustrated with this idea that we need to support this current political state of Israel because it's our spiritual duty. And I just want to explain, and I'll say it a million times, that the spiritual house of Israel, talking about in the scriptures, and the current political state of Israel are not the same thing. And further, the current political state of Israel, Jewishness, this is like, there's a differential. Have you gone down the rabbit hole about the Palestinians and the blah? I think we talked about this a little bit, but like, who's the true anti-Semites? Like this group of people that have been placed there, there's a reason why they can't do DNA tests and why they don't do DNA tests.
Yeah.
And we need to get, we need to teach
because
Christians
they don't possess any ancient Hebrew DNA. That's why. Then the rest of the world would say, hold on a second. You're not the people that you claim to be.
That's exactly right. And it's been a deception from the beginning in 1948 when they put them here. And we've just kind of taken it hook, line, and sinker. And so we need to wake up. We need to have these difficult conversations. We need to talk about, you know, we need to teach our youth. We need to explain to them that they've lied to us. They've lied to us about pretty much every single war. And we need to have these hard conversations, because if we don't, we're done.
And you heard me mention in the lead up to our conversation how we have been perpetually at war every single year for decades on end. Like, I didn't even realize that until I started looking into this. But we have always been perpetually at war, and none of these wars bolstered the national security interests of our country. None of these wars benefited the United States economically. None of these wars have made Americans any safer or any more prosperous or any more free. In fact, they have had the opposite effect in every way. Because when you go and you bomb communities and you bomb entire countries and you run their natives off of their own homeland and then intentionally displace them throughout the West for this intentional clash of civilizations, particularly between blacks and whites or Muslims and Christians, well, then you win.
Yeah, it's been a plan from the beginning. And this, and to your audience, this goes back to the war in heaven. This goes back really to two different orders, in my opinion. You have the order of force, fear, manipulation, coercion, which is the devil's kingdom. And then you have the order of voluntary love. You know, on your video before you came on, I love that, because I really do believe the way forward is homesteading, is getting a little piece of land and getting the hell off of this system and teaching our kid and learning how to do this. If I could, you know, learn how to grow an entire garden, that would be amazing. That I believe is the future for what's coming, because they are intentionally inflating everything so that they can reset this system. And then what's the solution? Oh, the solution is a one world government, a one world religion, one world digital currency. That is coming. It's pretty much here. And where I'm like kind of going through a mourning a little bit, Stu, is that we got it hit from the right, from the political right. Like, who saw that coming? I spoke at a President Trump rally in this last election. And from what I have seen here to now, like, I'm just hoping that somehow this 157D chess Q thing is real, but I know deep down it's not.
But you're not really hoping that, are you? I mean, you're not really sitting down on your hands.
I'm just hoping that somehow he's got this plan to take it out, but it's looking like he's one of these guys. And it makes me so sad to think that, like, how did this happen to us?
Of course he's one of these guys. I mean, he was paid $234 some odd million between his first election and his last election, $100 million just in this last cycle alone. And he has acted in the interests of Israel over and above the interests of America and Americans since his first executive order. He has been surrounded by these people and is compromised in every way possible and is very obviously compromised in these Epstein tapes. You know, and I mean, at this point, there's just really no other argument to this. There's this guy who has been paid to do these things, and the people who paid him are getting their shekels worth.
And we need to wake up immediately. And I really do think that this topic with Israel is the way that the left and I hate even saying this anymore, the left and the right, but this is the way that we all come together, truly, is that we call out the beast that's running America, that has colonized America, that has positions in every high-level influence from academia, big tech, the entire pharmaceutical industry. I mean, if you look at all of the shot, you know, the jab, you look at all of CDC, you look at all of Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, every single one high up executives, dual citizenship Israel, every single one of them. And when you point that out, you're somehow anti-Semitic. And it's like, no, if the Amish, let's just say it was the Amish, if they ran and they were in charge of all of these positions, including BlackRock, including the banks, including 17,
especially decisions that lead to the deaths of Americans.
If it was the Amish people, I think we'd be asking questions.
Yeah.
And would we be hating Amish people? So then why is it anti-Semitic when we say, oh, it's actually this small group of people that have colonized America?
Well, obviously, that's by design. Anti-Semitism is the one thing that will ruin you no matter where you go, like me getting a job in real society. A 9-to-5 working for some corporation. Do you think that's really going to happen? CNN dropped a study or a poll or some sort of a report that was compiled by a bunch of Jewish people that said that I was the most prolific, most dangerous anti-Semite on all of the internet. Yeah, I can't go get a job anywhere. And that's because I'm an anti-Semite, because I push back against the occupation of my government, because I don't like the idea of some foreign nation, no matter who it is, controlling the levers of power with inside of my government and all of its bureaucracies and owning all of the entertainment and all of the flow of information on social media, on major broadcast, on cable news networks, on Netflix. That I don't want them controlling our pharmaceuticals and Western medicine, that I don't want them meddling in, you know, our religion and in our spiritual faith and the fabric of our country, because I don't want them opening the doors of my country to third world invaders who come here with a disdain for the American people because we've been on campaigns bombing their people at the behest of Israel, making us less safe here.
Yeah, I don't want that. Exactly right.
You know, and I push back against that, and I ask these questions like, why are we tolerating this? And that makes me an anti-Semite. These people aren't even really Jews. These people aren't even really Jewish. They're just hiding behind this anti-Semitism moniker.
And then when you get back to like how they're the ones that created the left-right paradigm, how they're the ones that created the divide with race, they're the ones that created the feminist movement, they're the ones that created every single group that we think are this communist thing. This is where it's coming from. About a little over 10 years ago, Stu, I kind of told you my story offline, but when I was a police officer for Salt Lake City, loved my job, and I started to see the political animal within it. But around 2014, they wanted five of us to come and celebrate in the LGBT parade in our police uniforms. They literally wanted us to lead the gay parade. I tried to switch positions with another motorcycle officer, and we did switch positions. So I would do his security spot to just stand guard and let them speak what they're going to do. And they had a come apart. They wanted to know why. I explained that this goes against what I believe. And within the week, I was all over national news. They took my badge and my gun for discrimination. And that's when I kind of have what happened to you too, canceled. And so I tell you that story because this is the same group of people that have been dividing us over and over and over and over into these little small groups with these names and homophobe and racist, and now we're to the anti-Semite. It's like we're getting closer and closer all the way up to the devil himself. And it's like I am convinced that you have to speak up against this. Do you have a minute where I can explain what I think is happening spiritually with this?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So the devil and his angels, right? There was a war in heaven. If you read in the book of Revelation, and this war, in my opinion, it was about captivity and it was about liberty. It was about the way of God, the way of Christ, the way of agency, or the way of complete captivity, all done by force, fear. So there's in heaven, there's an order, okay? And that's the commandments. That's basically God's law. The devil couldn't do that. And so what the devil did was when he rebelled against God, he was cast out of the kingdom of God, literally. So you have the kingdom of God, he was cast out. What he did was he created a counter system, a counter kingdom that mimics and it mirrors everything that God, it looks the same, but it's the exact opposite. And it's done through force. It's done through fear, coercion, manipulation, and it's done through the money system. It's done through the exact opposite system that God wanted. In the scriptures, Jesus is always talking about, consider the lilies, consider the birds of the field. Don't you think that your heavenly Father will provide for you? And so what I think is happening, why I tell this story is because the devil was cast out of the kingdom of God for not following the commandments. What I believe is happening with the mirror is that he created a counter kingdom, but he created demandments. And when you don't follow his demandments and you don't say exactly what he wants you to say and think the exact way that he wants you to think, then what happens to you? You're cast out. You get cast out of society. You get labeled out of his kingdom. And so it's a complete mirror. And I am here to testify that when you get canceled out of the devil's kingdom, That's exactly where God wants you to be, because then he can use you and he can take you as a tool and he can add upon you, and your voice can get a lot more loud, just like Stu, and it'll keep going. And that's exactly where God wants you. So don't be afraid to speak up what you believe. Right now, God needs you now.
Amen. Eric Moutsos, you can find him at Eric Moutsos on Instagram, E-R-I-C-M-O-U-T-S-O-S. I heard it mispronounced by a few people. I got it right. And we're friends, and we're talking offline. And I'm really grateful for our friendship, actually.
Thank you,
Stu.
And
you deliver great content. You're waking a lot of people up over there. If you don't follow him on Instagram, make sure that you do that. Again, that's Eric Moutsos. He's welcome back on the program anytime. And he was talking about, you know, how people doubt whether or not God, the creator, the perfect father, will provide in your times of need. That hits hard. You know, the fact that Eric even brought that up is actually just confirmation of what I was reading this morning in my Bible. And that has everything to do with sacrifice. You know, people throw shade at this network. I'm not surprised by that. We have haters. And, you know, the cadre of people who have come together to hate me, they have exponentially and substantially increased in numbers, which is fine. I recognize that all of that comes as part of the territory, and I don't feel those arrows. They don't penetrate God's armor. I wear it every day. So it doesn't bother me. But what I've noticed is that these people will ridicule the platforms that are the most vocal on this issue, who have had the most to lose and who have sacrificed the most in real life. People like Dan Bilzerian, for example. This guy's dealing with hundreds of millions of dollars. He owns Ignite, his own company. And when he noticed, he didn't have to say a damn thing. Dan didn't have to say anything. But he did, because of his convictions. He did, because he's a man of principle. And so he had everything going for him. He had it all. He never had to say anything. And now he has been voted off of the board of his own company by his board of directors. I don't know how much money was lost. It's none of my business. I talked to Dan, but I talked to him about fitness. I talked to him about relationships. You know, and he's got his academy out and he's doing good work. But he didn't have to say anything. Jake Shields, a professional MMA fighter. You know, Jake Shields in the UFC, millions of dollars in fight contracts, got a gym, he's a trainer, he's got training contracts. He didn't have to say a damn thing. When he noticed, he didn't have to say anything. But he did. Because he's a man of conviction. Because he's a man of principle. Because he's a morally upright alpha male. And he said, yeah, I don't care what these people are going to bring my way. This is the truth, and I'm going to say this because it affects the future generations of our country. You know, it affects kids, billions of kids. And they have a target on their backs. So walking away from that, whether they knew it, whether it was, you know, at the tip of their consciousness, or whether it was something that was done subconsciously, these people, both Dan and Jake, along with myself, it's no secret that we have parted ways with millions of dollars in traditional funding methods that were present previously at the Stu Peters Network, because I'm not going to negotiate with these people. I'm not going to capitulate. I'm not going to soften the message. I cannot be bought. I'm not going to change the message. I'm not going to ignore this problem. Those contracts would have been at around $6 million right now. And I know that that's a funny number, but they would have been literally over $6 million in 2026 if I would have just legitimized the two-party system and constantly attacked the left. Just go after the lunatic liberals. Just go after the Democrats. Go after the blue sociopathic pedophile Zionists and ignore the red ones. Just continue to legitimize this two-party system, this constitutional republic that's representative of its people, when we know, in fact, that that is a fallacy, just like Judeo-Christianity. It's fake and gay all the way. And you're not going to vote your way out of this. And so I refused to soften or change the message or not dig into this, because the more fervent, I guess, the more vitriolic and visceral the response to my question asking became. Then I started reporting on my findings, and instead of asking questions, I was delivering answers. And I'll admit that I was doing it in a way that was relatively shocking, and some of the language was provocative, and that was intentional, and that was all by design. I had to do that. And now the window of conversation has shifted so much so to the extent that now you have, you know, mainstream people talking about, at least at bare minimum, Israel and its government, but a lot of people are talking about the JQ. A lot of people are asking the JQ. They're talking about the problem. And that is a conversation shift that is really unprecedented. And that comes back to people like Jake Shields and Dan Bilzerian, people like Eric Moutsos, who just stand on their principles. They have a breaking point. They have the straw that will break the camel's back. For Eric Moutsos, it was, I'm not going to dress in some pride flag. You know, I'm not going to drive around in a rainbow squad car in Salt Lake City and participate celebrating sodomy and homosexuality. You know, God blew up two whole cities over this sodomy stuff. I'm not going to do it. I'll be glad to stand back. You know, I won't be involved. I won't say anything, but I'm not going to be an active participant. And for that, he was fired and his badge was taken away, because this is about a humiliation ritual. That's what this is, getting you to quite literally bend over for these people to signal that you have complied, to signal that you will be a good foot soldier for the Weimar 2.0 conditions that we're seeing in so many different sectors of our society today, including our institutions of learning, including middle schools and elementary schools, where children are being sexualized by librarians and teachers to believe that it's normal to have a relationship with a grown man or a grown woman. This is where our country is. I mean, this is where our unserious country has been allowed to deteriorate to. And it's happened because of people being scared. Apathy and complacency are to blame, but there are people who know and who have forced themselves to censor themselves. They'll go inside the walls of their own home and quietly utter these words. They'll whisper these conversations, which I believe Charlie Kirk was doing until he wasn't doing it quietly and in secret anymore, just with Erica, with pillow talk, but he was doing it publicly. And that directly contributed to the expeditious ending of his life. And I believe that Candace Owens is facing the same thing. We can't accept that. I'm tired of being lied to. I'm tired of being told that I'm going to lose my blue check mark, or that I'm not allowed on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. I'm not allowed to have a YouTube channel. I'm not allowed to be promoted on Rumble to be at the top of everybody's feeds. I'm not allowed to participate in polite society. I'm not allowed to table my ideas for discussion. And other adults like you are not allowed to come across my channel, come across the information, listen to what it is that we're presenting with ideas and solutions, the questions that we're asking, and then come to your own relevant conclusions and determine whether or not you want to continue following or hearing from me. Because instead, people like Dan Bilzerian or Jake Shields or myself are cast to the farthest corners of the internet, where we're just placed into this echo chamber. But the white pill here is that I'm seeing in real life this conversation happening in the streets. I'm seeing it happening inside of churches. I'm seeing it happening in clubs and organizations. I'm seeing it happening among parents at youth sports and at school board meetings. I'm seeing it happening in our political environment. No matter where you look, society-wide, this conversation is happening, and that's my white pill. More of the Stu Peters Show continues next.
I can control what I put into my mouth. I can control what I feed to my child. I can control how I grow my food and if I want to spray pesticides or not, but I cannot control the experiments over my head.
Within an hour, it spreads out. It creates a blanket.
We're in a war. This is a war against me, you, our children, our grandchildren, and generations to come. This is war raised upon us.
These programs consist of spraying tons of patented aerosol pollutants into our skies without public consent. This includes aluminum, barium, strontium, and more.
It's targeting your food, your water, and it's coming in multiple different ways.
If people want to know if this is a real thing, states have bills to ban it.
I think there are now 32 states that have taken an attempt at this. This has become a huge issue.
If your average citizen knew the truth of what's going on and what they're being exposed to without their consent, they would be outraged and they would take action.
I don't want some creep ramming chemicals down my throat without my permission.
We need to prosecute those people that are doing it.
Do we stand in one spot and say enough is enough, and if they don't listen, we take it to the next step?
You've been doing this for a while?
Yep.
Long time. People do care.
Yeah.
We care deep.
I know that.
So we're now getting really involved, and now we're going to bring something legal against your company.
This Black Friday, don't just shop, get prepared. My Patriot Supply is giving you their Black Friday Survival Special. $150 in free gifts with a four-week food kit. We're talking real meals, trusted quality, and the peace of mind your family deserves when disaster strikes. Supplies are limited, so don't wait. Head to www.preparewithstupeters.com and secure your Black Friday Survival Special today. Because when the world goes dark, your family shouldn't go hungry.